Great to have you along today on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. A group of conservation organizations have joined forces to create the Wisconsin Women in Conservation Coalition. And we have two members of the group with us today, and they're going to tell us all about it. One of our guests, Alejandra Hernandez, a conservation policy associate at the Michael Fields Agricultural Institute. Alejandra, thank you for joining us today.
Hi, Larry. Thank you so much for having me on the show.
Well, it's great to have you here. Rebecca Christoffel, also a guest. She's an e-resources group team member. And Rebecca, welcome to you. Good to have you with us.
Nice to see you again after about 20 years, Larry.
It's been a long time. Oh, man. We'll ask them about their roles with Wisconsin Women in Conservation, and we'll talk about the educational opportunities that the group offers. And certainly, we want to hear from you. Maybe you're a woman landowner. Why is conservation important to you? What would you like to know about this group? You can be part of the conversation. Give us a call at 800-642-1234. Or you can email us to ideas@wpr.org. Maybe you're a member. We want to hear your experiences as well. Well, Alejandra, let's start with you. How did Wisconsin Women in Conservation get started? Give us the history here.
Yeah, there's a history in Wisconsin of women-centered workshops, so women caring for the land, for example. And so there's definitely this need of getting women together in a safe, comfortable space to talk about conservation and experiences of women doing conservation on their farm, on their land. And so we saw an opportunity to have a structured, networked approach, a regional approach to create programming throughout the state. So Wisconsin Women in Conservation is taking a regional approach by having regional coordinators across the state, connecting with women, with conservation resource professionals, to each other and to resources.
And there are many women involved. I was just thinking back to some research one of my PhD students, Jeannie Goering, did quite a while back, where she talked to her research involved women who were owned land and were farmers. And it was a really interesting project. And I think thinking back to that, Jeannie's research on that, there was a sort of a collaborative kind of feeling and collaboration among many of these women. But let's talk about, Rebecca, maybe talk about collaborative learning and why it's so important to Wisconsin Women in Conservation.
Well, for one, this project is a huge project in terms of the numbers of organizations involved. And so, you know, it's funded through NRCS, the Natural Resources Conservation Service, but then we have the Michael Fields Agricultural Institute, Renewing the Countryside, MOSES, the Wisconsin Farmers Union, Pheasants Forever. So you have this multitude of organizations involved, and women seem to learn best in an all-women environment and learning from each other. So there's lots of collaboration here. Alejandra mentioned that we're doing this regional approach and we have tri-county clusters in each of the regions right now that are focusing our efforts. But eventually we need it to be statewide, all of the counties involved. And so that means developing a task force, you know, a statewide task force, and going further than the tri-county clusters that we're currently working in.
Yeah. How did you get involved in it to begin with?
It's very funny. There was a woman in Iowa, Jean Eels, and her doctoral research really focused on agricultural women and conservation and how do you get women involved. And so she worked with the Women Food and Agriculture Network, and they developed something called learning circles, women caring for the land, learning circles. And I met her when I was a faculty member at Iowa State University. And she worked with me and my graduate student who focused on getting Iowa women interested in wetlands conservation, wetlands protection, wetlands creation on their agricultural land. So I started participating as a conservation professional in these Women Caring for the Land meetings. And then I started recognizing patterns even in myself, in how I'm most comfortable communicating, but in how I changed my communication style to be successful in natural resources management. So I started connecting all of the dots and I said, wow, we're missing a really, really important audience here. I want women to feel like they're capable of and that they're confident in making conservation decisions on their land and implementing conservation on their land. So I've been working with Jean Eales now for, I would say, about 10 years. And she was actually contacted to get involved in this project. And she said, I know somebody in Wisconsin who'd be perfect for this evaluation piece. And so I have subcontracted under her and am doing the evaluation piece, which I love because I've only been back in Wisconsin about 5 years. And it's really helping me to reconnect with a lot of people and meeting new people who can help me in terms of getting more women involved and in terms of changing the image of snakes in the public's imagination. So doing double duty for me.
Well, I tell you what, that is a really cool story. Thanks for sharing that. Alejandra, what about you? What was your entree to this business?
Yeah, so I work with at the Michael Field Ag Institute, and Esther is an agronomist at the Institute, and she did a lot of work to apply for funding for this project, and she invited me to be part of it. And her enthusiasm is infectious, her enthusiasm for creating spaces that are, you know, woman-centered. And after the invitation, I was like, yes, this is going to be such a wonderful learning and nourishing opportunity for me. And so I was very excited to do this project. And previously, I've done a lot of programming that has been family-centered. And that programming was in Milwaukee. So I worked at an environmental health center, and we did a lot of programming for families addressing environmental health concerns of the community. And I just saw how much passion and enthusiasm and participation we had from women, and how women teach their neighbors they bring their kids and their kids participate and teach their parents. And I thought, like, that is such a wonderful model, creating, you know, spaces for women to teach each other, to learn from one another, and to provide leadership.
Oh, that is another cool story. You know, Lindsay emailed that she did 2 years of AmeriCorps after undergrad program and loved it and did so many conservation projects as part of that AmeriCorps. They removed invasive species. They did bird surveys. They planted natives and helped in education programs. It's a great option for young women, AmeriCorps. Comments on that? What do you think?
I was actually part of an AmeriCorps program, Larry. I would highly recommend it. I was with the Capuchin Franciscan, which is very much similar to a lot of like different core programs. And that's what brought me to the state of Wisconsin, actually, after my undergrad in Dallas. So I obtained my undergrad in biology, and I was studying a lot of human biology, but my mentor, Dr. Brown, is a woman, an ornithologist in Dallas, and she introduced me to conservation and working with the community. And I was like, what do I do with my life? I love like human biology, but now I love wildlife and conservation. And so AmeriCorps was such a great opportunity for me to be placed in an organization to really understand what it means to work with the environment, to work with people. And I approach everything from a health perspective. So I think it's super important to address soil quality, air quality, water quality to improve the livelihoods of our human and non-human communities. So I would highly recommend AmeriCorps. It really gave me an opportunity to be placed in a wonderful community-based clinic, the 16th Street Community Health Centers in Milwaukee. And I had so much mentorship from women in the community. So I am very grateful for their mentorship. I learned a lot.
And Rebecca, maybe just turn to you. What do you think of AmeriCorps? I'm trying to think, is there some tie here that might be made with the Wisconsin Women in Conservation?
Well, there might be. I certainly have enjoyed working with people who have been a part of AmeriCorps and have encouraged students to take that opportunity, again, broadening their horizons and, you know, figuring out how things are connected. That to me is my lens, is really how is everything connected? And the fact that I love people and I also love animals and plants and they're all connected and the health of all, you know, one health, they're all connected. It's just a great opportunity. So I would highly encourage anybody who has the opportunity to get involved with AmeriCorps to do so. And it may be that at some point in the future, there are AmeriCorps positions available through this extended network of women interested in conservation throughout the state.
Well, I am really eager to learn more about Wisconsin Women in Conservation Organization. And as you listen to these two wonderful experts, I hope you feel the same way, and we'll have a lot more time to talk with them. They'll be with us right up until 12:30 today, and so looking forward to that. Alejandra Hernandez is a conservation policy associate at Michael Fields Agricultural Institute. Rebecca Cristofol is an e-resources group team member. She has BS and MS degrees from UW-Madison in wildlife ecology, a PhD from Michigan State University. Join in. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234. Email us to ideas@wpr.org. Back with our guest right after the news. Stay with us. I'm Larry Mueller. Thanks so much for being with us here on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. We've been talking about getting women landowners involved in conservation efforts. Our guests are from the Wisconsin Women in Conservation Coalition. They are Rebecca Cristofol, an evaluator for the group, and she's also an e-resources group team member, and Alejandra Hernandez, the Southeast Regional Coordinator and a Conservation Policy Associate at Michael Fields Agricultural Institute. Great to have them along. And wondering, have you attended any of the Wisconsin Women in Conservation events? How did it help you? Want to learn more about those events? Are you having difficulties getting access to programs? That's something we can talk about, too. What do you want to know about educational programs? There's lots to talk about here. Give me a call. The number is 800-642-1234, or you can send us an email to ideas@wpr.org. And you know what? We have Eric from Fall Creek on the phone. So let's go there. Eric, hi. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi, everybody. Great topic. I am a director at a nature center at Beaver Creek Reserve, and I'm surrounded by strong women leaders in conservation every day. So I applaud the efforts, and we only want to support you more. I'm also an AmeriCorps alumni myself, and we actually hire conservation teams through the nonprofit WISCORS out of La Crosse. And we'll be hiring environmental educators this fall through their environmental conservation AmeriCorps position. So you can look for our website, and we'd love strong female candidates to apply. And I look forward to sharing some contact information. If there's ways we can share additional women in the outdoor type programs and conservation programs up here, we'll be happy to do it.
Oh, Eric, thank you so much. Who wants to chime in on that? And what kind of contact information could Eric get, or anybody else for that matter? Alejandra? Oh, we're not hearing you. You're muted.
Oh, hi. Thank you, Eric, for bringing up those opportunities. That sounds amazing. We'd love to connect with you. You can also learn more about us on our website, wiwic.org. Send us an email, Eric. We'd love to chat and work with you and you know, help spread the word about upcoming workshops and opportunities.
So wiwic.org is the right?
Correct.
So anybody else who is interested could use that as well?
They sure could. And that's where they'd learn about the different programs that are upcoming. In fact, next week we have 4 different workshops, one in each region of the state. Those are virtual right now, given the pandemic. But later this year, we are planning on having an in-person field day. But if they want information on next week's workshops, they can go right to the website. They can register for the workshops, which are free, right through the website itself. And they can learn more about the project and the different players involved.
Let's talk about, so maybe review kind of what kinds of programs that you typically have and maybe what you've already had to sort of give us a flavor and then talk about what's coming up. Alejandra, you want to chime in too?
Yeah. I can let you know what to expect at our workshop. So like Rebecca said, we're having them at through regional coordinators. They're facilitated by regional coordinators. And so at these workshops, you can expect to meet other women in your region, which is an awesome networking opportunity to learn who your neighbor is, meet and learn from other resource professionals. At the Southeastern workshop, we're going to meet a couple of women that are leaders for NRCS and for Pheasants Forever. We're going to talk about soil health and conservation practices for beneficial insects. For the Southeastern workshop, we're going to have Thelma, landowner, farmer at Bossy Cow Farms, talk about her experiences.
Very cool. And is that Rebecca, is something similar happening at the other places around the state as well?
Right now, it's something similar happening at each of the other regions. It was funny you asked about former events. The only former events we've had thus far were a series like we're having next week. We did at the beginning of March, and it was really most of our time was spent introducing the project and the partners and what was going to be happening for the next few years to women. And some of our regional coordinators, Alejandra being one of them, actually had a content expert come and talk about soil health and give a presentation to the women and then also engage in a question and answer period afterward so that the women could, you know, talk further about soil health and learn more about next steps they could take to improve soil health on their properties.
Yeah, I'm wondering what's the soil health may be a good educational part of it, but what do you see in the way of needs for women who are landowners and maybe they're farmers or they want to do conservation work? What kinds of needs do they have?
Well, I'm happy to start answering that question, and I hope Alejandra will then chime in afterwards. So there are lots of questions. And so in Wisconsin, about 35% of the producers in Wisconsin are females at this point. And in the Great Lakes region, about 48% of the land that is farmed is leased out. And so it basically is in the hands of absentee landowners, many of whom, over half of whom have never even talk to a conservation consultant about conservation practices on their land. So there's a huge gap there, a huge need. And for many women, they've inherited this land, never really been a big landowner before, and now suddenly they're dealing with having to not only manage the land, but manage relationships with tenants. And, you know, tenants want to make sure that they can get their land year after year after year for farming. And so they're not likely to bring up the fact that they might like to change things and undertake conservation practices necessarily to a landowner. It's up to the landowner to bring that up to a tenant. But if a landowner isn't aware of the programs or the fact that they might have this going on their land, they're certainly not going to bring it up to the tenant. So part of what we're trying to do is reach female landowners who aren't operators and get them to understand how they can serve as a stewardship partner with their tenants and make sure that conservation practices are happening on the land that they own so that they are able to leave the land in good shape for future generations. The other thing is many landowners, most of us are like me, starting to have gray hairs, right? We're not real, real young. And so in my day, it was very unusual for a young girl, for a woman to really want to get into science big time. And so a lot of women who are landowners don't have a lot of the science background. And it can be intimidating, all that highly technical language. If you've ever been into the NRCS office, you know all about alphabet soup, all the acronyms. And so you're trying to figure that all out. So we're providing what I consider a user-friendly venue for women to learn that conservation language, learn about the programs, and learn from each other. Some of the women who come to our meetings have zero experience. Others have quite a bit of experience. And a part of this program is to have mentoring available to the newbies through conservation coaches that will be working through the regions and with our regional coordinators. And I'm going to turn it over to Alejandra to add anything that she would like to.
Yeah. Please go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to add that there have been a lot of policies that have engendered barriers for women to even own land, such as like access to credit, for example. And then historically, women just have been underrepresented and haven't benefited as much as men have through programs through the USDA. So it's super important, I would add, to, you know, create and help these networks to help navigate the conservation landscape and application processes for different types of cost share opportunities and programs out there.
And so give us some examples maybe of some of the cost share programs that may be available that they might not have known about.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, well, you could go through any of the NRCS programs, you know, Conservation Reserve Program, the Conservation Stewardship Program, the Environmental Quality Incentives Program, you know, the Wildlife Habitat Incentive Program, if it still exists. But, you know, any of the Farm Bill programs, women would be underrepresented in. And luckily, you know, we are working also with Pheasants Forever that has farm bill biologists, many of whom are working with us and will work with the women in terms of identifying what sorts of programs they might actually qualify for. A part of our project is to get women acquainted with NRCS, acquainted with the conservation professionals and feeling comfortable around them, but also in getting conservation plans written up for their properties and, you know, having them feel like they are in charge, they have a plan, and then they can go forward at their pace with that plan, however much of it that they want to pursue on their land.
Very, very cool. Well, let's give our listeners a chance to join in. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Give a call. Lori in Shawano, We'll turn to you now. Lori, hi. Thank you for calling. What's on your mind?
Thank you. I came into the program a little late, and I was just wondering if you, if your guest had mentioned anything about wooded land, because I just heard about the farmland, but I've got 120 acres on a river in northeastern Wisconsin, and what can I do with that without having it logged or having hunters or trappers or anybody like that tramping on it, because it's very private and I want it to stay that way, but I don't know what kind of programs I can get it into. I'm trying to sell it right now, but I kind of want to protect it so it's not just all either logged off or just turned into a bunch of condos.
Okay,
there
Rebecca,
are lots of options available to you. I would highly recommend that you attend next week's virtual meeting in the Northeast, where you can learn more. We certainly are interested in wooded land as well as land that is currently being farmed. A lot of farms actually have parts of them, sometimes big parts of them, that are wooded. So certainly you would qualify as a participant, and you would learn about some of the different programs, not all of which are through NRCS. You know, the Wisconsin DNR has managed forest law program. There are other options available to you, and we would help you uncover those.
I also wanted to add, yeah, there are other types of management practices that can happen in wooded areas, such as the practice of silvopasture, which is something that we know some women are involved in, such as, you know, they have trees and grazing livestock, so in harmony. And so that's something that's super, super awesome and interesting. And we have some women who are able to talk more about that, especially through UW Extension.
Yeah. So there's opportunity. And how does she get, how does Lori get signed up for this program, by the way, again, Rebecca? To participate?
All you have to do is go to the website, wiwic.org, and there is a place for events. And if you go to the event, go to the one that is closest to you, which I suspect will be the Northeast region. And you can register right through the site. And registration is open until the evening before the program. So it'll be open until April 6th. That program is actually being held on April 7th.
And this program, is there no cost associated with it, or what's the?
No, these are free programs, and the duration is 90 minutes. The Northeast one is on April 7th. It runs from noon till 1:30. If that doesn't work, she certainly is welcome to attend any of the others. Alejandra's is also on the 7th from 6 until 7:30 p.m. And there are two on the 6th. One that goes from 10 till 12 and one that goes from 3 to 5 p.m. So, and any of those would work, but her region, the Northeast, is probably most appropriate.
That might be the best. Lori, does that help out?
Yes, it does. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate it. Sarah from Mississippi Valley Conservancy emailed they have a great AmeriCorps job opening right now, and they wanted to highlight it. And so Sarah says, you can, if you're interested, you can visit MississippiValleyConservation.org for details. MississippiValleyConservation.org for details on that open position. So you got 90 minutes. How does the program, how does typically is it run? I'll let you tell me how it runs. Alejandra, maybe go ahead and tell us what happens in that 90 minutes.
Yeah. So in that 90 minutes, we're in our virtual community space. So we're using our Zoom tools to create community through the COVID pandemic. And what you can expect is that there's a breakdown of some time to get to know each other, you know, just to understand who's in the room, the regions that you're coming from, a little bit about like if you're a landowner, if you're a farmer, if you're a conservation enthusiast, so getting to know one another. And then we have content specialists. So like I said, for the Southeastern workshop, we're going to talk about beneficial insects for farms. And so we'll always have a session where there's a content specialist talking about a very niche topic. And then we like to bring in soil health as well. Like, how is soil health important and how can we build up soil health? And, you know, just connecting people to the variety of programs and resources available outside of, you know, this project. So introducing different types of resource specialists in Wisconsin.
And so I'm guessing that there's a page or something that people can copy off or whatever that lists all those resources that they can then, you know, at their in their own leisure, you know, follow up on, I assume.
Yep, those resources are posted on the WIWIC.org website, and there's a place called Resources. And so following meetings, these resource sheets are put together and then are posted. But in the meantime, we also learn of other resources from the content experts ourselves. And we also post either the resource itself or a link to the resource so that people can go and get further information on any of the topics.
Hmm. Kathy and Madison, let's turn to you for a minute. Kathy, hi, thanks for calling.
Well, you're welcome. I was listening to part of the program, and you may have already covered this, but when the lady called in about her wooded land in northern Wisconsin and wanting to protect it from development, our family has land in northern Michigan, and we protected it from development by putting a conservation easement on it. And the easement was, we gave the rights to development to the Nature Conservancy in that area. And so they hold the rights, and they will never develop it. We hold the title to the land, and we got a tax break. And we kept 15 acres out because that's where the cabins are and so forth if we want to, like, build more stuff or, you know, put in a shed or a work shed or something. We have a little freedom, but the rest of it, over 300 acres, is protected in perpetuity forever. And we started with the Grand Traverse Nature Conservancy, which was doing the upper half of the Lower Peninsula, basically. And then a new conservancy came into the eastern segment, and they the easement transferred over to Headwaters Land Conservancy. We've been very happy with that. They come out once a year to inspect the property and make sure that you are keeping the terms of the easement. And we've had a land management plan and done some logging, but that's a great resource, and I would really recommend that she look into that with a conservation, a land preservation organization in her area.
Kathy, thanks. There's one woman helping out another woman. That's kind of the whole purpose of this whole program, isn't it? I tell you what, let's go back. How do people find out more about Wisconsin Women and Conservation? What's the website and that sort of thing?
Our website is WIWIC.org. And we're also on we have social media as well. So you can find us on Instagram and Facebook. And then we also have Pinterest. If you use Pinterest, you can find us on there as well.
Wisconsin Women in Conservation. If you type that into the search engine, you're going to find out some more too. Well, I tell you what, Alejandra, Rebecca, thank you both so much for being with us today. I learned a bunch. I think everybody else did too. And good luck. Appreciate it very much. Thank you.
Our
two guests are with are members of the Wisconsin Women in Conservation Organization. It was great talking with them, and I'll tell you what, it was great having you listening in today. And just to let you know, our consumer protection experts are back to talk about various COVID relief programs, and also warn us about current scams. That's tomorrow at 11. I'm Larry Mueller. Thanks for listening. Stay with us.